Genesis 11, verse 27 to 12, verse 9. Here we meet Abram. And I want to look at this passage in two ways. In this discourse, I want to treat this passage as the New Testament treats it in Galatians 3:8. Here is the gospel call. Abram is called. And the apostle writing to the Galatians speaks of this as the gospel in advance. So the call of Abram. Of course, within that call, we have the first giving of the covenant that God makes with Abram, the Abrahamic covenant as it will become. It will be developed in later chapters and then throughout the rest of Scripture. It's a major, major covenant in the covenant history of redemption. But in this discourse, I want to look at the individual call of Abraham as an illustration, example, a demonstration of the call of the gospel, even today in the new covenant, the call of Abraham. I remind you, as I so often do, that these discourses are just seed discourses. I'm just giving the headings here. All this could be fleshed out and should be fleshed out. There are many scriptures to bring into this discourse, which I will not be bringing in, just briefly indicating the headings. The background is this, that we meet Terah in chapter 11, verse 27, well, in verse 26 and before, but the account of Terah from verse 27. Terah has three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran, probably the youngest here, I should say. He becomes the father of Lot. But Haran dies before his son. Haran dies while they're all living in Ur of the Chaldeans, where they were born, these sons. Abraham had a wife, Sarai. Nahor was also married. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, who had died, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but they never got there. They lived in Haran and settled there. After Terah died in Haran, then the Lord's call to Abraham is worked out. Whether this call had come earlier, I think there's evidence, as we read in the New Testament, that this call had come back in Ur of the Chaldees. But whatever about that, after the death of his father, Abraham, according to the Lord's word, chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said, you see, this was before, but now it's brought about. Now Abraham is on his own, as it were, from his father. He moves with Sarah and Lot on to Canaan, carrying out the word of the Lord. That's how I read these passages. The gospel call. The gospel in advance, Galatians 3:8. Let me just give the headings. 1. The sovereign, gracious intervention of God. The Lord had said to Abraham. The Lord told him. Verse 4. The Lord told him. The Lord told him. The Lord commanded him. The Lord broke into his life. The first thing I want to say about the call of the gospel, it's a sovereign act of gracious power by God. He intervenes. There is no preparation here. There is no build-up to it. The Lord said to him, though he was living in that idolatrous place in Ur of the Chaldees, get up and leave. And he left. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. Go to the land. I will show you. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So we're told. The sovereign intervention of God breaking into this man's life. And it's always this way. Even if we're brought up in godly homes, brought up under the Bible, understanding the gospel, God has to intervene in our lives and break in. It's a sovereign act. It's not a kind of process we just sort of drift into it. God breaks into this man's life. Sometimes it's graphically so. You might at the moment be in Islam or Buddhism or an atheist or whatever it might be. You might be profligate, but God breaks into your life sovereignly. But you might be religious, brought up in a godly home, knowing the Bible, but still God has to break in. It's always a sovereign act of God's gracious power. Secondly, the command of the gospel. The Lord had said, the Lord told him, there are commands in the gospel. That's why I talk about duty faith. God issues commands to sinners. Do you want to hear them? God commands all men everywhere to repent. This is his command, that we believe on the name and the person of his Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Come unto me, all you who labor, every one of you, and I will save you and give you rest. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. These are commands of God. I'm rattling them off. They come over and over again in Scripture. Acts 17, 1 John 3, Isaiah 45, Matthew 11, and so on and so on. The command of God. You must. You listening to me, friend? Have you repented yet? God commands you to repent. Are you trusting Christ yet? No? God commands you to trust Christ. He commands you to turn from your sin. Repent and believe the gospel. The first sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1. 3. The promise of God. I will. Verse 2. I will. I will. I will. And again in verse 3. I will bless you. I will make. God promises to us in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16, verse 31. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Look unto me, and be saved. There's no doubt about it. God commands, but he promises. He's the promising, commanding, sovereign, gracious God. Have you heard the command? Have you felt the promise, friend, is given to you now? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Refuse him, and you will perish if you die in that state. Fourth, Abraham was obedient. Look at verse 4. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him. So as. Just as. We get this in the New Testament with the law of Christ. It's a very powerful sense in Scripture of this. So as. Just as. And he went on right to the end. Look at verse 5. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Well, yes. Oh, no. That's obedience to God. Go. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen. But I will be with you. And Abraham was obedient. Will you obey the gospel, friend? Remember Galatians 3:8. This is the gospel in advance. Will you obey the gospel? God commands you to repent and believe and trust his Son. He promises you that he will give you peace with God, everlasting salvation, forgiveness of sins. Will you trust him? Will you be obedient? And it was all by faith. Look at verse 7. To your offspring I will give this land, promising. And again you get this word, so. As a consequence of this. He believed, you see. He was obedient because he believed. Romans 4 makes much of this. The faith of Abraham. He went out. He was persuaded, fully persuaded, it says, not knowing. But he was convinced, and he went in obedience. Have you got the faith? Will you believe? Will you trust Christ? I can't prove any of these things. Abraham didn't have proof. He just relied on the word of God. Will you? That's the call of the gospel. Then the man worshipped, verse 7 and verse 8. He built altars. We're living in the new covenant now. Our altar is Christ. The sacrifice we have is Christ. But this man, he built an altar. And he, well, more than once, and he worshipped. He sacrificed on the altar. And we know what that means. He went back to Abel and offered blood sacrifice. We have the blood of Christ. It's been offered once and for all. We plead it now. Will you plead the sacrifice of Christ? Will you worship God in Christ? Will you trust God, obey God, and confess God by worshiping him in spirit and in truth? John 4, the Father seeks such spiritual worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ. Will you come now and bow the knee to God in Christ? He worshipped. He held communion with God. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to him and said, he walked with Abraham, and Abraham walked with God. The two talked together. Abraham is called the friend of God in Scripture. This is what it is to be a Christian. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So wrote the hymn writer. Do you know something of it, my friend? This being a Christian is not just propositions and ideas. It's communion with God. It's walking with God. It's a felt Christ, a known Christ, an experienced Christ. It's not just a system of beliefs and creeds and confessions. It's knowing the living God in Jesus Christ by his Spirit. This is the call of the gospel. Walking by faith. And the final point is that Abraham was a pilgrim. He was pitching his tent. He was moving on. He was roving on. The hymn writer puts it like this. Forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from him I rove. Yet nightly pinch my moving tent. A day's march nearer home. Yes, my friends, believers are pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. But we nightly pitch our moving tent, a day's march nearer home. Let me just give you the headings again. But may they not stop as headings, my friend. If you've never come to Christ, may you experience them. And brother and sister, may we live out to the full this gospel call. The sovereign, gracious, powerful intervention of God. That's what it is. The command of God comes. Repent and believe. Trust my son. The promise is given. I will save you. I will receive you. Come unto me and I will receive you. Obedience to the gospel. Obedience to God in the gospel. Trusting God. Faith. Believing. Yielding. Persuaded. In that obedience. Worshipping God. Having communion with God through the blood sacrifice of Christ by the Spirit, and being a pilgrim in this world. This world is not our home. Heaven is to come and the new earth, but God is our all in all. These are the lessons I learn from the call of Abram here. And as Paul says, this is the gospel in advance. I hope, I pray, that all who hear me may not only know these things, and hear these things, but experience this call and come to know God through Christ in this saving, sanctifying, God-honoring, God-glorifying way.